Now notice these features that if you'll note them as you go through the book of Acts, it'll make this book more meaningful to you. You find, first of all, there is the prominence of the Lord Jesus Christ in this book. He's gone now, that is, in the first chapter, he ascends. But he's still at work. He's just moved his position, his location. He's moved his headquarters. As we said, we felt his headquarters were in Capernaum as long as he was here on this earth. His headquarters now at the right hand of the Father. And he's just simply removed headquarters from one place to another. And so you have here the prominence of the Lord Jesus Christ at work through the book of Acts, but from the vantage place of heaven itself. Now we have a second thing that we see in the book of Acts, and that's the prominence of the Holy Spirit. Christ promised to send the Holy Spirit. You find it mentioned in the Gospel of John about four times. And then here in the book of Acts, he promised it. Now this is the age of the Holy Spirit that you and I live in. The great fact of this age is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in believers. That's the great fact of this age. Now you have the power of the church in this book. You will notice that there is a power that is in the church, and of course that's the working of the Spirit of God that, my friend, is totally absent today from the church, and I don't care whose church that you're talking about. I have traveled across this country and up and down this country, and I think I know it fairly well, and I have heard people say, oh, there is a revival going on over yonder and over here and down there. And I've always tried to get to those places, but they ran out of revival when I arrived. Maybe I did something to stop it, I don't know. But it wasn't going on when I was there. That is what I would call a revival and what you have here in the book of Acts, the power of the church. And then you have the prominence of the church, both visible and invisible. Something new has come into existence in the book of Acts, and that is the church. Then you have the prominence of places. We gave you the outline a moment ago. We begin in Jerusalem. We'll end in Rome. And Sir William Ramsay checked all these places that Paul visited and Dr. Luke, and he found out how accurate he was. And then you have in this book the prominence of persons. Dr. Luke mentions 110 persons by name, besides reference to a multitude here and a mob here and a crowd here. I think by the end of the first century, there were literally millions of believers in the world. The church in those first 200 or 300 years had a phenomenal growth that has not been surpassed before or since by any movement at all. It was phenomenal, but it got slowed down, and it certainly is slowed down today. But it's working out just exactly as the Lord said it was. Now we have the prominence of the resurrection. That is the center of gospel preaching. Now, we today in the church have one Easter sermon a year. A preacher gets up one Easter sermon a year. I began many years ago preaching in August. If I was not away on vacation or in conference, I always made a point of coming up with Easter in August. And I want to tell you, people came just to find out what had happened to a preacher. They thought the heat was getting him, that he had the idea there was Easter in August. But in the early church, there never was a sermon preached but what the very center and heart of the message was: the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter began on the day of Pentecost. That was his theme, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He says, what is taking place here is because he's up yonder. And he has sent the Holy Spirit into the world, and it's all due to the resurrection. And you find Paul made the resurrection the very heart of his message. I believe today that if anyone wants to ride a hobby, and there are a great many who ride hobbies, in the Bible. A great many people like to take prophecy. Others like to take the Keswick message, and others like to take some other facet or phase. Now, if you want to ride a hobby, let me suggest one for you, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday was resurrection. It was Easter. He was risen, and they proclaim that everywhere. And that you find in the book of Acts. Then in chapter 8, there is the prominence of Peter in the first section and Paul in the last section. Now, there is a strange omission of the other apostles. The emphasis is upon the ministry of Peter, the ministry of Paul. And I think for a very definite reason. To begin with, Dr. Luke was acquainted with the ministry of these two men. He was an associate of Paul. And apparently, instead of the great many people thinking there was a disagreement between Peter and Paul, very candidly, I'm of the opinion that Dr. Luke and Peter and Paul got together a great many times, a great many talks, a great many things that are not recorded in the Scripture at all. May I come back to the seventh thing that I mentioned that was prominent, and that's the resurrection, to make this comment, because here's a verse that has been so, I think, twisted and distorted. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." How was he lifted up? Well, he was lifted up in resurrection, friends. Lifted up from the dead. That's the message today. And if that message is not given, oh, I don't care how much you talk about Jesus and how much you talk about how lovely he is. The important thing is he came back from the dead and he says, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." I think the problem today has been the fact we're not preaching a resurrected Christ. The book of Acts does, and we'll have an occasion to put the emphasis there. Now, the proper title for this historical book has always been a problem here in the Bible I use, which is the Authorized Version. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. And you find that in other texts. The Codex Vaticanus manuscript calls it the Acts of the Apostles also. And others have called it the Acts of the Ascended and Glorified Lord. And I would rather think that the key is given to us in the first two verses of the first chapter. And if I may venture my own opinion, it would be this title, and this is a long one, of course, "The Lord Jesus Christ at Work by the Holy Spirit Through the Apostles." I would say that that would be the title of this very wonderful book.